So now we come to session three, if you turn in your outlines to page 12. So in this conference, we are learning. We're learning to live a kind of life. The Lord wants us to live in union with Him. And that's why the Lord would like us to learn how to walk in Him, having been rooted and being built up in Him. So all of these verses that we're looking at this week are from the book of Colossians. So if you're in London, maybe this week you're in the Bible reading challenge, you'll find, wow, that just matches our Bible reading. We were reading Colossians 3 yesterday and Colossians 4 today. So the book of Colossians is amazing. And how about we do this at the start of this message? We turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse, and we read together these verses, 15, 16, and 17 together. Colossians chapter 3, 15, 16, and 17. Okay. And let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. So in the verse this morning we had, we need to learn to know the peace of Christ. If we want to have a living in union with the Lord, we need to learn to know the peace of Christ. That means we need to let the peace of Christ arbitrate in our heart. So in this meeting we're going to consider the Word of God. And it's really interesting, before we touch the Word of God, what do we need to do? We need to let the peace of Christ arbitrate. And today, you know, in the world, there's no peace. You know, everywhere we look, there's protests, there's strife, there's anxiety, there's stress, and it's causing all kinds of mental illness around us. You know, you look at the depression, the rates of suicide are increasing. Everybody is full of anxiety. You know, I don't know, how do you feel when you go to a rubbish bin today and you look at your hands, you say, do I put this in the recycling? Do I put it in the non-recycling waste? Or do I put it in the food bin? Does anybody feel a certain amount of anxiety when they're going to put their rubbish in the bin? Okay, and I'm, you know, this may seem like a small thing, but today this is a big issue. Because today people are worried, if I don't take care of my human responsibility, then I may cause the whole earth to be damaged. And we may laugh about this, but this is actually becoming a psychological anxiety. People call this eco-anxiety. And so yesterday, or the day before, I was looking on a website and I saw the leader of the band of Coldplay. You know Coldplay? And he was giving an interview and he said, I decided I'm not going to have any tours anymore. So I'm not doing any more tours until I can work out a way that I can make it eco-friendly. Okay? And so he decided, I'm not going to do it until I'll have my whole band, it'll all be solar-powered, and I'll have only one-use plastics. Today, everybody is concerned about plastics, right? Around us, I don't know how it is in the Netherlands, but in England, everybody is so anxious. Even Prince Harry, they did an interview with Prince Harry, and Prince Harry said, you know, I feel like I can only have two children, because any more than that would not be responsible. Because of the, you know, everybody is anxious and troubled. And some people are saying, well, I'm not going to have any kids because we don't have a way to sustain. And so it's affecting people's diets. And internally, people are seriously stressed out about so many things. But actually, they don't realize, you know, by joining Extinction Rebellion, I know maybe some of us did this, and gluing ourselves to the trains, or gluing ourselves to the entrance of this bank, actually that's not going to bring any solution to the world problems that we have. Do you know that? I like to tell you the gospel. The gospel is, God is in control. But we have to learn this. Actually, the genuine peace in the world is only found in Christ. Somebody asked me the other day, he said, Tim, do you worry about anything? And I said, no. I don't worry about anything. And I just had to scratch my head and say, actually, I don't worry about anything. You know, maybe I'm just irresponsible. But I was trying to think, why am I not worried? And I think it's because of this verse, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. And this is matches John 14:1. It says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe into God. Believe also into me. So, you know, I enjoyed what Brother Ray said this morning. He said, for any human being to find peace, they need to align themselves with God's purpose. Once we align ourselves with God's purpose, there is the genuine peace. Listen, you know all of the problems? You look at, you know, Jess over here, she studies geography. She can tell us more than I can tell you about maybe the icebergs and all of the different situations, the CO2 levels. Many, many different things. You know what? I tell you something. This may be very disappointing. These problems are unsolvable. Did you know that? Unsolvable. But when the Lord comes back, He will restore the earth. It says the desert will bloom. It says the whole earth will be restored in a way it never can be by protesting today. Did you know that? You know, the problems of the prison, the problems of social unrest, the problems, all of these problems, you try and solve it. You cannot solve it. I know one dear sister, she loves her homeland so much, she decided to be a lawyer to try and fight for her people. But I tell you, there are injustices in this world. There is racism in this world. There are many problems. I'm not saying, I'm not justifying them, I'm just telling you the honest truth. When the Lord Jesus comes back, He will bring peace to the earth. Do you know where that peace was made? Peace was made on the cross. There is no peace outside of the cross of Christ. We have to see this. As Christians, we should not be troubled by all the winds that are blowing. We have to know the origin of peace is Christ Himself. And then we need to let that peace arbitrate in our heart. Okay, so then that's the peace with God. But then we had to look around the room, and then He asked us a harder problem. Is there anybody you have a problem with? Oh, Lord Jesus. You know? But listen, He said, even a little leaf can block out a star. You know, a ball of gas, which is just a ball of fire, can just be blocked out. Oh, I also enjoyed how he said, you know, the offense is like a slap in the face. You know, I don't know if you ever read those verses in Matthew, and it says, Philip, you need to turn the other cheek. And you're, yeah, I could do that. I could turn the other cheek. But, you know, I just think about, you know, when you go and try and pick up your rental car, and they say, your rental car, you only have a year and a half license. You need to have 2 years on your license, Chris. Go to the next place and hire a car. Did that happen to you, brother? It was like a slap in the face. Did you have peace, brother? Amen. Wow. He still had peace. It took him 6 hours to get the car. It took him less time to get here. But our life is filled with slaps in the face. And then you just say, Lord, is that not enough? Is that not enough? And the Lord would say, let it go. And then what should you say? I can't let it go, Lord. I need you. Okay, so you may be wondering, why am I spending so long to re-speak the previous message? It's because This is the key to this message. Okay, this message is receiving the word of Christ. You know, when I ask you, isn't it amazing? You look around the room, look around this room and tell your neighbor, wow, you're amazing. This is an amazing group of people here. I tell you, some of you are, just all of you are amazing. I can't remember what I was talking about now, but just, I really can't remember. Yep. Amen. That's really, really good to know that we're in an amazing place. All right. Oh yeah, I remember now. When some of you are studying to be lawyers, some of you are studying to be, I don't know, pharmacists. I don't know. What are you studying? Civil engineering. What are you studying? Physics. See, I tell you, every one of you are amazing. But when you pick up your textbook, some of you are studying fashion, you don't have to forgive anybody. It doesn't matter if you just had an argument with your best friend. It doesn't matter if you just shouted at the person that you were when you were driving down the road. It doesn't matter, right? You can just. But when you pick up the Bible, it matters. Sometimes you said some of. I heard some of the young people say, "I don't believe in God anymore. I don't believe. I don't. I think it's all just it's all made up." I tell you, the secret is this point: is do we have anybody we still need to forgive? Is there anybody? Some of us have really been wounded. Some of us have genuinely had things happen to us, and they've hurt us within. And because of that, we can't touch the Lord. It's like there's a blockage in our being. And so we have to, first of all, learn to let the peace be the arbitrator. Right? Who decides whether to let it go? Do you decide? The Lord says, let it go. We have to say, amen, Lord. Okay, so then we come to this message. Let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Concerning our living in union with Christ in Colossians, Paul tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Okay, so what is the word of Christ? The word of Christ is all the words that Christ spoke, right? So you say, okay, I understand. The words Christ spoke, he spoke a lot on the mountain. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. He said many things. But there's a lot of other words in the New Testament that are not Christ speaking. Actually, all the words of the New Testament are the words of Christ. Because when you read Hebrews 1, verse 2, it said, at the last of these days, God has spoken to us in the Son. So actually, even though some of the words were not spoken by Christ directly, they were Christ speaking through the Spirit, through the disciples. Am I okay, brothers? Yeah. So actually, all the words of the New Testament are the words of Christ. So when we talk about the word of Christ dwelling in us richly, we're referring to the whole New Testament. And even we can pick up the Old Testament and we can handle it in a certain way to understand that these are the words of Christ. Okay, now let's go on to read point B altogether. We need to be filled with this word, meaning that we should allow the word of Christ to dwell in us, to inhabit us, and to make home in us. So, in this verse it says you need to let the word of Christ dwell in you. Now, if I have a chair over here, I cannot let the chair dwell. It's an inanimate object. Even a dog, you wouldn't say let the dog dwell in the house. But my children, I have to let them dwell in the house. But they may not be dwelling in the house richly. Okay, so whose house is it? Is it my house or my children's house? It's all of our house, right? But when my daughter comes home from school, do you know what she brings in her bag? She brings stacks of paper that she has drawn today. Last week, she brought a stack of about 20 sheets of paper, and every one of them had the same picture on it. And I just had to say, wow, that's just amazing. Every one of them was the same. And it's amazing. She can't draw circles. Let me show you a picture of what. This is how my daughter draws faces. It goes like this. Like this. Like that, that's the face, and this is her smile. And I had a stack of about 20 like this. This was the face. And she's just so happy because it almost looks like a face. And so my wife and I, we just get stacks, and Ben's been to our house, he knows. We just accumulate piles of paper everywhere. So, you know, if it was a hotel room, you know, she couldn't keep all these things in the house. But because it's her house, she begins to accumulate all of these different things in the house. Stacks of paper of horses, and now she's got, and my son, now he's got Bob the Builder. And now the house is just beginning to be filled with their expression everywhere. But if Willem comes over to our house, and he says, Tim, I brought a shuffleboard from the Netherlands. It's a fantastic game. Please, can you keep it here? I'll say, well, brother, I love this game, but we don't have the space for it. You know, when you live in a house, you begin to have the liberty to bring all the things that you love into the house. And you have to make room for them. So secretly, when Bethany has gone to sleep, we put the things in the recycling. But she doesn't know that yet. But she is dwelling richly. She's beginning to have her expression in the house. You know, we had two brothers, and they went onto Gumtree or Facebook, and they Facebook Marketplace, and they're like, oh, we found this great sofa. And these two brothers are not here, otherwise it would have been great to embarrass them. But anyway, they found this sofa, and they got it in the car. And then they went up the back, and because they couldn't get up the front staircase, they had to go up the fire escape staircase. You seen those fire escape staircases? They got it all the way up, and then they got to the door, and what happened? It was too big. So they tried this way. Have you ever done that? This way, and that way, and this way, and then eventually they had to take it all the way back down the stairs. So what do you need to do if you're going to bring something into the house? You have to measure it. You have to measure it. This is a tip. If you want to bring something, measure it. So the Word wants to get into us, into our heart, and dwell there. So what does He need to do? He needs to measure us. But there's a lot of spaces He cannot fit into. He bumps His head, or the door says, no, don't go there. Don't go there. So in order for the Word to dwell in us, what do we need to do? We need to allow it to measure us. Allow it to dwell in us. Okay, so let's read point one together. For the Word of Christ to dwell in us richly means it has to have adequate room in us to permeate and saturate our whole being. Point two, sisters. So the Word wants to come in, but we have many things that are inhabiting us, and they need to, the Lord wants to touch them. For example, money. Money is something you may say, I'm a student. I don't know what that means, money. I know what debt means. But actually, the Lord may have a different feeling. The other day, I was reading through the Gospel of Luke, and I read about this woman. She was poor. She had nothing. She had a lot less than me. And it said she put into the offering box 2 lepta, which is like nothing. And the Lord looked at her and He said, this woman, she has cast in more than everybody else. Everybody else. Because she cast in all that she had. And I was reading that. And I said, Lord, what about me? Okay, so with the peace of Christ, we need to let it arbitrate. With the Word of Christ, we need to give it first place. At that point, when the Word speaks to you, who is first, you or the Word? The Word says, you need to offer something. And I say, Lord, can I wait till the end of the month? Or can I wait till this point? The Word says, you need to offer something. That is to, we have to allow the Word. The Word is living. And I'm not saying you all need to go and offer something. I'm just saying the Word wants to have an opportunity to speak to you. I was reading John, and he said, behold the Lamb of God. And inwardly I said, Lord, I just behold you right now. I'm tired, I want to go to bed, but I want to finish my Bible reading. And right there I just touched the Lord in the Word. and it began to dwell in me. So the Lord wants to replace a lot of things. You know, rich. Do you want to be rich? Or do you want to be barely making it in the Christian life? I barely made it through university, but I'm still here. Or do you want to finish university with the word richly in you? Well, we have to do this every day. Okay, let's all read three together. We need to pray, Lord Jesus, I am willing to let go of my concepts. I want you to have ground in me. Amen. This is a very good prayer. Okay, now let's read C together. We need to pray, read the Word, receiving the Word of God by means of all prayer and petition. Okay, that's good. Okay, so one of the secrets, actually I would say the secret to letting the Word dwell in us is to prayerfully read the Word and to have the Word fill our prayer. Okay? So the key to the Word, here, I'll write that on the board. The key to the Word, I don't have a board rubber. The key to the Word is what? The key to the Word is prayer. And the secret of prayer is what? These two things are two different ways of looking at the same thing. The secret of prayer is the Word. Do you ever feel that your prayer is dry? You don't know what to pray. You feel like you need to pray, but you don't know what to pray. Well, we need more of the Word. Do you ever feel like your reading the Bible is dry? Well, you need more prayer. You see, the two things, actually, they go together all the time. We tend to like separate them. Prayer is over here, and the Word is over here. The two go together. The secret of prayer is the Word. Now, I have absolutely no time, but I'm going to tell you a number of people who discovered the secret. One of the first ones, I'm going to go for in the Bible, on this side, and on this side I'll do church history. A very, very quick couple of examples. Okay, in history, in the Bible, one of the first people to pray in the Bible is Jacob. Now, Jacob is a great example for us because he was not a spiritual person. In fact, his prayers are terrible, just like yours and mine. Ugh. Okay, so with Jacob, he basically said, he made a deal with the Lord. So I don't have the time to tell you the whole deal. But he said this. He said, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred. As thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered. The best we can say to God in prayer is what he has said to us. So Jacob learned, he said, God, you said that you're going to take me there. So his prayer was, God, you said you're going to do it. Do it. The best prayer to pray to the Lord is what the Lord promised to us. Okay, so then another one, I'm going to go super quickly here, is Moses. It might be one of your questions, so that might be why I'm spending time on it. Moses said, and now I beseech thee, let the power of the Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, ... Okay, so these were two people. And that was in Numbers 14:17. So that was Moses. And I don't have time, but I'm going to tell you David and also Daniel. So Daniel was a person who read the Word of God. It says he read the prophet Jeremiah and then he prayed. It said he read and then he prayed. Okay, now I don't have time to go through the Bible with you. So I'm going to just mention a few from church history. So this is Martin Luther. Not Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther, the reformer. Martin Luther. Okay, so Martin Luther, this is what he said. I'm going to read a few quotes. Okay. Then repeat one part. So this is, he said, how to take Matthew chapter 6. He said, then repeat one part or as much as you wish. Perhaps the first petition, hallowed be thy name, and say, yes, Lord God, dear Father, hallowed be thy name, both in us and throughout the whole world. Okay. I'm going to keep going on to Charles Spurgeon. Have you heard of Charles Spurgeon? He was a brother. He was an evangelist in the 19th century. He was a very descriptive person, and he describes it like this. He says, it is a great thing to pray oneself into the spirit and the marrow of a text, working into it by sacred feeding thereon, even as the worm bores its way into the kernel of the nut. Prayer supplies a leverage for the uplifting of ponderous truths. Or he said, new veins of precious ore will be revealed to your astonished gaze as you quarry the God's word and use diligently the hammer of prayer. Or he said, use prayer as a boring rod, and wells of living water will leap up from the bowels of the word, who will be content to thirst when the living waters are so readily to be obtained. And then I'm going to tell you about D.L. Moody. Okay, this is D.L. Moody. He was also an evangelist. He came to this country. I think he was from Chicago. Okay. This is the secret that these brothers found in how to let the word dwell in them. If we read the word and do not pray, we may be puffed up with knowledge, without love that buildeth up. If we pray without reading the word, we shall be ignorant of the mind and the will of God, and become mystical and fanatical, and liable to be blown about by every wind of doctrine. Okay, and then this is somebody called John Hyde. He was an evangelist in India. Okay. Don't have time. Okay. So this is somebody who was with him. He said, right on his face, on the ground is praying Hyde. This was his favorite attitude for prayer. Listen, he is praying. He utters a petition and then waits. In a little time he repeats it and then waits. And this many times until we feel that petition has penetrated every fiber of our being, and we feel assured that God has heard and without doubt will answer. How well I remember him praying that we might open our mouth wide that he might fill it. I think he repeated the word wide scores of times with long pauses between. Wide, Lord, wide, open wide, wide. How effectual it was to hear him address God, oh, Father, Father. Okay, and the last one I want to tell you about is somebody called August Hermann Frank. And this is a really good illustration to us. So one may remain at every little verse in the Bible, and as Luther says, knock on every little twig, whether there should be some berries that should fall off. Should at the beginning one think at somewhat difficult, and should the prayer not flow at once, one may go on to try the same on another twig. If the soul is only hungry, the Spirit of God will not leave it undernourished. Yea, it will finally be found that the man will see so many living fruit in one small verse that he will remain there and settle as under a tree richly laden. However, whosoever in the beginning is frightened by it and considers it to be too difficult for him, and he could not read the scripture in this matter, it is his own fault that during his entire life he never gains true joy and pleasure in the scripture. So these were just some examples of ones who had learned the secret of prayer is the word, and the key of the word is prayer, and this is how we can let the word dwell in us richly.
Point C again, if we have read it. Amen. How do we know that we need to pray, read the Word?
That's a good question.
Okay, is it okay? I'll just quickly repeat what we were told. I just really appreciate Tim's introduction, that we need to see that the peace of Christ, that we need to let the peace arbitrate in our hearts before we come to the Word. And why is this? Why is this relevant to the Word? Like what Tim was sharing, if I come to the textbook, it doesn't matter what my feeling is concerning the author of the textbook. It's irrelevant. I can despise that person. It's absolutely irrelevant because I come to textbook for knowledge. I need to get some kind of knowledge or instruction from that book. But the Word of God is not designed for you to get knowledge. That's not why God gave you the Word, to have knowledge. So I think this is the crucial point. We need to realize that actually God's Word is designed for something, and actually God reveals in His Word how we should handle it. So first of all, of course, the Bible is a text, so we do need to read it. I mean, if it's a text, we read it. But that's not the only verb that the Bible uses concerning the Bible. We have to realize that's not the only thing we have to do with the Bible. And in this point, in point C, so first, okay, how about, I don't have anything either, but, okay, maybe I'm just sure. Okay, this is going to be bad. So, okay, first I'll just write read. Because it's a text, okay, it's obvious, we need to read it. But the Bible says, in the point C, it says pray. Pray. That's how the Bible commands you to receive the Word. Okay, so does anyone know Ephesians 6, 17 to 18? Or does know a song about it? Okay, who here knows what Ephesians 6, 17 and 18 says? Okay. Okay, how about louder? Someone very bold. Thanks. Amen.
The Spirit is the Word of God, that means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching unto peace in all perseverance and petition, concerning all the saints.
Okay, that's a marvelous set of verses. Okay, so how about we read the title of this message? Receiving the Word of Christ. Okay, so reading, necessary. But here it instructs us to receive the Word, or the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, by means of all prayer. So it's not even a certain kind of prayer. It says all kind of prayer. Then, okay, how about these in scripture reading of this verse, you can see Colossians 13, 16, and 17, and that we read already, but it does say, sing. Sing. And it also uses this interesting song. And we can even thank, I'm not sure, some of you might have heard pray reading. Have you ever, you probably heard sing reading. Have you ever heard thank reading? You can thank the Lord through the Word. Okay, so my point, when I made it the point about the textbook, it's irrelevant how you feel about the author, because what you want is knowledge. But the Bible is not designed for you to know stuff. The Bible is designed for you to know God fully. And God desires. That's what the Bible says. So this is what God's Word says. God desires that all men would be saved, and they would come to the full knowledge of the truth. And in the book of Colossians, Paul desired that the saints in Colossae would come to the full knowledge of God's will and would grow unto the full knowledge of God. But, okay, it's kind of going to be an old school question, but who knows Facebook? Okay, this is old thing. But if you try to search me on Facebook, let's say, and my privacy settings are only my friends can see my profile picture, you won't know much about me. You can go to my Facebook, but you won't get anything. Because your relationship with me is not the relationship that I allow to reveal myself to you. So actually, your relationship to me will decide how much you will know me. That's why when you come to the Bible, with God's desire to unveil Himself to you, you have to first to take care of your relationship with Him. You have to allow the peace to arbitrate. If there's anything between, you have to repent. Apply the blood. Lord, forgive me. Lord, you just apply the blood. You enter into the relationship. And actually, in the relationship, that's when we read the Bible. The relationship is the context of our touching the Bible. And then, if you send friend request, and it's approved, then He is faithful and righteous to forgive anything. That's it. And here you go. You get to know a little bit, and then maybe He will text you and say, how about you come over? Basically, I'm just saying, how much you know a person depends on what is your relationship with him. What is your proximity to him? And that's what we need to take care in these matters. Okay. So, maybe, since I have to also speak about singing, and it's something I myself struggle a lot, it should be reserved to the enclosed garden. My singing should be reserved to enclosed garden. But we need to enter into this practice of singing the word. But what do you sing about as human beings? What do people sing about? Do you sing about, I don't know. I mean, people sing about different stuff. But even when Brother Ray was speaking about the movement concerning peace, there were so many things, songs written concerning peace, because that was something that touched their being. That was something that they allowed their being to be occupied with. Their heart was indwelt with these things. And it issued in a lot of feeling. And feelings were expressed through the song. So unless you read and pray, it's very hard to sing with a feeling, with much feeling. Actually, our normal prayer reading should issue in singing. We should allow the word to enter into us to such an extent that it would issue forth in the singing. It would be something that touches our feeling. We would touch something so sweet, so tasteful with the Lord, that will issue in a lot of love songs, in a lot of joyful noise. There's so many things in the Bible that should touch our being. But unless we take care of these things, it's hard to come to this one. On the other hand, we should exercise. Maybe sometimes in the morning we don't have feeling. Maybe it's a good way to sing a song, love song. Lord, I just love you. It's different songs touch different, express different feelings. But sometimes it's a very good way to stir up our feeling to the Lord. So, yeah. How about we read point D? Amen. We need. Okay. So my one burden is to realize that we need. And it's we, not as in the way of teaching, we Christians should, or we supposed to, but we need. And who are we? Who are going to be these we? it's either us or just the fact that you're hearing these words. I really hope you will bring this to the Lord. We need to realize, like we heard from Nathaniel in the first message, what God desires is to build up the church. That's His goal, to build up the body of Christ. But how does He do it? Okay, have you heard such an utterance as fullness of the Godhead? Have you ever heard? It's in Colossians. Okay, what about unsearchable riches? Wow, fullness of the Godhead, unsearchable riches. That's in Ephesians. Then in Philippians, there's a bountiful supply. But how practically do you touch these three matters, the fullness of the Godhead? How do you touch the unsearchable riches? How do you touch the bountiful supply of the Spirit? I mean, even the adjectives are marvelous. It's unsearchable. It's bountiful. It's fullness. Well, Colossians 3:16 is the key to our experience of these matters. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, who here has ever prayed Ephesians 3:17? Okay. Whoever has prayed that the Lord would make His home in your heart. Wow. We all desire this. When, you know what's the Lord's answer? He says, let. Let. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's a sister verse. He wants to make His home. You ask Him to make His home. But unless you let the Word enter into your being, He cannot. It's like praying, Lord, make me healthy. I'm going to eat this bacon with crisps. Please make me healthy. It just doesn't work this way. The Word of God is the means how God dispenses Himself into man. So we need to let. Amen. How about we read point E? Amen. So it shows that we, from the Bible, we not only get the knowledge, objective knowledge, but we get the element, and that's marvelous. If you know, I'm not sure if you all have heard the word dispensing, but this is dispensing. In a sense, when we mingle these two matters, the Word and the Spirit, that's dispensing. In a sense, okay, God is Spirit. But where is He Spirit? He might be, okay, Christ fills all the universe. Where do you go to touch Christ? You could go to Venus and Christ is there, that's true. But practically, that's not practical. Where practically do you find the Lord Jesus? Okay, we have our Spirit, that's true. But what is the embodiment of the Spirit? The Word. If you want to touch the Spirit, you have to come to the Word. And it's very interesting. It's very interesting. Even when the Lord Jesus spoke concerning the Spirit as a comforter, He says He will guide you, and also He said He will remind you. It's such a marvelous thing. So in this person of Christ dwells all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. There is so much in this person of Christ. Actually, I don't know, my feeling concerning even Colossians, Paul's feeling was to reveal this Christ to these dear saints, that they would not be distracted by so many good-sounding teachings, the philosophies, the good things, the this or that. He just wanted to unveil them concerning this marvelous person. To really unveil them concerning how wonderful this person is. That's why he directed them to the Word. And actually, even how we allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in us is also related to our dealing with the Word. Actually, The Word is the way God accomplishes everything. He creates the universe through the Word. He creates the masterpiece through the Word. You know, these aspects of building up of the church, it's through the Word. Through our receiving, allowing the Word to dwell, and speaking the Word. The washing of the bride, preparing the bride. We sang that song, "Let us rejoice, let us exult, for the marriage of the Lamb has come." How God prepares how does the bride adorn herself? It's through the washing in the water, in the Word. How do we defeat the enemy who always causes trouble, who hates God's purpose, and who always fights against God's purpose? The only offensive weapon is the Word of God. The Spirit, which is the Word of God. How do we grow unto the full-grown man? God desires us to reach the full maturity. We need to long for the guileless milk of the Word, that we would grow unto salvation. God wants to accomplish, and He can accomplish everything through our dealing with the Word, with the Spirit. Actually, in a sense, I hope you would have such an impression of that little, I don't have it with me, but that little red book, New Testament, some of you might have it, it's actually face-to-face book. It should be our face-to-face book. We should learn to behold the Lord. Even everything in this book testifies concerning person. That's what the Lord Jesus said. These things testify concerning me. But are you willing to come? We are sometimes willing to read, but are we willing to come to the person? Okay, how about we just quickly read 1, 2, and 3 under F. Amen. So, this is the way that we can be or live in union with Christ. We need to allow the Lord's Word indwell us, not just indwell us richly. And you know, sometimes we might pray that wonderful prayer where the Lord says, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself." Okay, how does the Lord abide in us? The Word. Because just the few verses after, He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you." He just says, my abiding is through the Word. Actually, even in John chapter 6, He says, if you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you abide. And then people get offended. What are you talking about? And then He explained, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. So the way for us to have this union with Christ is to allow, to make our whole being, to let. This is really, it's a word of will. We need to exercise our will to allow. And all these points where we read, we need to ask the Lord, who are we? Who are these we who need it? I mean, we need to see what God is doing and He is building. Then we need to take the way of life. We have to realize what the enterprise which God is involved in, the project that He is doing, is with man, it is impossible. That means nothing of your ability, nothing of your knowledge can accomplish what God desires. Communists try to create a perfect society by taking out the element of God. They wanted to build up the reproduction of acts, taking out the element of God. As a person from Lithuania, I can testify it's a complete failure. without the nature, the element of God, whatever good things you can do does not qualify to be the masterpiece of God. So in the church life, what can you do, what you can do, does not mean much. So we have to know what God is doing, and we need to take the way of life. We need to take the way of receiving life. But what makes this we practical is the matter of consecration. We need to realize, unless we practice what we heard, it doesn't matter. Nothing. We can know the teaching. We can know that we need to exercise. But unless we exercise, our physical health will not get better. Like if I pray the Lord, Lord, make me much stronger. Lord, I want to be much stronger. And then I go sit on the couch. It's not practical. This is not how God operates. So I hope that we would have even consecration regarding this matter of the Word. How about we pray to the Lord? Lord, grant me the entrance into these practices. And just to touch the matter of psalming before I'm also out of time. Psalming is the way of not only singing, but also musing. It's something very rich. It's our worship, our fellowship with God, with singing, but it's even conversing with yourself. And actually, in the whole Bible, I think the word muse is only mentioned probably 14 times, and 12 out of these 14 times is in Psalms. Psalming is the way to muse upon the Word and allow it to richly indwell us, to allow it ground, to really pay attention to the Word and allow it to permeate our being. And just that point, not sure if we read it, but how about we read Roman numeral 1b2. It is crucial for us to let the Word of Christ enter into us, dwell in us, prevail in us, and replace our concepts, opinions, and philosophies. So it shows that there's a replacing happening. Unless you let go of certain things, the Word might not have much room. You have to allow your thought, your consideration concerning certain matters, to say, Amen, Lord, I want your Word to have room. Whatever you say matters more than my concept. Okay, how about we read Roman numeral 2. Okay, so just this final point. We need to realize that to live Christ is not the matter of deciding to live Christ. Like, some of you might have been touched by the speaking about our need to learn to live in union with Christ. And your prayer might be, Lord, you might be very genuinely desirous, Lord, I want to learn in union with you. But the point is, unless you touch the Word, unless you plug your whole being into the Word as a socket, there will be no issue of living in union. Actually, our relationship with the Lord is that of dependence. To live in union with Him, we need to depend. And the practical way to realize this dependence is by plugging our whole being into the Word. That's why in the morning, we need to touch the Word. Because we can live because life. When we touch the Word, and then we need to chew the cud. We need to consider it throughout the day, and then reconsider. Sometimes we might be familiar with certain verses, but actually the Lord has much more riches in that verse to you. So you need to give away your old knowledge of that verse and come and reconsider that verse. Lord, let's say John 3:16. Who knows John 3:16? Wonderful. Okay. What does it mean that God gave His Son? Your spontaneous reaction might be that He gave His Son to die, but that's not what the verse says. He says He gave you the Son. Actually, Son is the person in whom God delights. He loves this person so much. And He wants you to touch this wonderful person. It doesn't speak about just the redemption. It speaks about this wonderful person. He loved you so much that He wants you to know this person, to really enter into the full knowledge of this wonderful person. God delights in Him, and He wants you to delight in Him. So, actually, our consideration of certain verses is very based on previous concepts. So maybe we need to open certain verses. Lord, what do You want to speak to me? What do You want to bring up with me? The Bible is so rich. So I really hope that you would acquire a taste for these things. And maybe, just to finish up, maybe we could just pray. Pray to the Lord concerning this matter of consecration, to touch the Word in these, at least these five ways.